I mean, what a great time to have him. Rosters are all set. The Niners are making all kinds of maneuvers. And we get to visit with one of the preeminent voices, NFL minds, and deep dive tape watchers out there. He joins us every single week. River Island's guest line, and he's on YouTube as well. Ladies and gentlemen, from NFL Films, it's Greg Cosell. Hi, Greg. How you doing?
Gentlemen, what's happening? Well, at least we're ready for some football. It's actually a really big college football weekend. I'm pretty excited.
It's huge. Yeah, week one. I know you're already deep diving on next year's draft. And then right after that, we've got, 8 days till an NFL game, 11 days until a 49er game.
Yep.
At the same time, the Niners are still doing all kinds of moving and shaking at the wide receiver position. So here's how I'd love to start. In Kyle Shanahan's system, we always hear that a lot is asked of wide receivers, and it's very difficult. So to your knowledge, Greg, how easy would it be for all of these new wide receivers to just jump onto the team and then produce right away?
I think the biggest issue has to do with things other than what we normally think of for wide receivers, which is, you know, just running routes and catching the ball. Because there's so much formation variation. Splits are so, so important. There's multiple splits for wide receivers. That matters immensely. There's a lot of motions. So it's not just a matter of, hey, you go there and we're going to throw you the ball. So there's a lot to learn, but, you know, they need bodies right now. I mean, that's the issue. They need bodies. You know, and normally, look, Valdez Scantling, who they just brought in, he's been around the league. He's a guy that can run. He can take the top off the defense. He's always struggled with his hands, which is why he's never become what I think a lot of people hoped he would become. But yet, he does have moments. When you bring in someone like Sky Moore, my guess is, I think he was in the 2022 draft, if memory serves me correctly.
Yep.
My guess is that someone in the organization or a number of people, scouts, coaches, liked his tape coming out of college and decided that, you know what, if he's available, let's give him a shot. You know, he's a smaller school kid. He's Western Michigan. I did him when he came out. You know, I evaluated him. You know, his measurables were good. He's, you know, he's 5'9 or 5'8, but he ran well. He didn't quite play like that, and I think that's reflected in what's happened to him in the league. You know, he didn't play to his 4.41 40-yard dash time, but, you know, now he has another opportunity, and, you know, sometimes guys need another opportunity, and it works out. I guess we'll find out, just because it seems as if, based on the injuries, you would know better, guys, you're out there. It seems like, you know, these guys might have to play week one.
Yeah, a little bit of a desperado situation. Shout out the Eagles, where, you know, they're running out of able body receivers.
Yep.
Valdez Scantling's interesting for me, Greg, because the numbers indicate he's a good run blocker. What have you seen on tape as far as him able to go out there and block in the run game as a receiver?
You know, I'm going to be totally honest with you guys, okay? When I watch receivers, I'm not really looking at their run blocking. I'm just being honest. Even when I watch college guys coming into the league, it's funny. I had a coach who's coached in the league for years at the receiver position, and it might be different for Kyle Shanahan, but a coach told me that, you know what, we can teach a receiver how to be a good enough blocker for what we want to ask him to do in the run game. So I don't really know the answer to what Valdez Scantling is as a run blocker. You know, obviously he can lift the top off the defense. You know, he had a stretch. Was it last year when he was in New Orleans? I lose track of the years. He had a stretch in New Orleans where he, you know, made a bunch of big plays down the stretch, which is what he's capable of doing. He's always been a guy that can run by people. And by the way, that matters even if you're not a volume receiver. And of course, don't forget, when guys come back, you don't even know if these guys are still going to be on the team. Right now, they're just looking for warm bodies.
No doubt. Greg Cosell is with us on 95.7 The Game, as he is every single week. Greg, I want to ask you about one of the other guys that got reacquired today and immediately put on the active roster, which is Russell Gage. He's been dealing with injuries the last couple of years, but the Niners will have us believe whatever he's been dealing with, he's back. So what was he 3 and 4 years ago in this league based on what you watched?
Yeah, I remember him pretty well. He was a tough good size guy, tough, competitive, physical. I mean, at his best. And again, now you get into all those other things I mentioned because we don't know, you know, how well he knows the offense and the things of that nature. But he was a guy that I remember he worked the middle of the field effectively. And you guys know how important that is in the Kyle Shanahan offense because he's got good size, catches the ball, competitive, plays with a little bit of a swagger. You know, he's, I don't want to say he's Juwan Jennings, but, you know, he was sort of like that when he played, that style of receiver.
And you look at the whole Juwan Jennings situation and Russell Gage and what he can do and Marquez Valdes-Scantling and more of a take the top off the defense guy. When you look at the 49ers offense, are they still in need of Juwan Jennings or can these two receivers that they've brought in replicate what he had brought to this offense?
I don't think anybody can replicate it initially, guys, because don't forget, Jennings has been in the offense for a number of years, and there's a lot of variables and a lot of things to learn in this offense. So, you know, again, most people think, oh, well, the guy can run a little bit, he can catch, blah, 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 but there's so much more than that. So I think we have to be careful about assuming that guys are just going to step in. Now you get into how you want to structure your game plan, how you go about putting together your offense when you play Seattle week one. Does this limit the things you can do? I don't know the answer to this. I'm just saying these are things that get thought of by coaches. Can they use the same amount of formation variation? Can they use the same amount of motion? We know the Niners are a heavy pre-snap movement team. Can they do all that with receivers that aren't used to playing in this offense? Because don't forget, when you do things like pre-snap movement, you know, your quarterback has to get to the line of scrimmage with a good amount of time on the play clock because the motions take time. If a receiver doesn't understand exactly where he's supposed to be, that could add 2 or 3 or 4 seconds to before the ball snapped, and that becomes a problem. So there's a lot of other variables that come into play besides whether a guy can run a route and catch a ball.
Greg, it was after we spoke to you last week that the Niners went out and acquired Brian Robinson Jr. from Washington.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd love to hear what your spin is on his fit in this offense based on what you know of his talents.
You know, it's funny. I always liked Brian Robinson going back to when he was at Alabama. He waited there. In today's day and age, it's very rare. He waited and waited and waited and got his chances last year. I liked him coming out. I knew what he was. I knew he wouldn't be a first-round pick because he's not explosive. But in the context of this offense with the one cut and the downhill element, and obviously they've expanded the run game over the years as every team has to do, but I like Brian Robinson. I think he's tough. He's physical. He's competitive. You know, I think that if by chance McCaffrey were to get hurt, I think in the context of this offense, you can line up Brian Robinson and he can be a volume back.
And is he a back who can thrive in the two-back system that Kyle Shanahan really loves with the fullback, or is he somebody that would require them to maybe change their offensive approach to suit his running style?
No, I think he could probably fit. Again, that's an unknown, and I certainly don't know because he didn't really do that in his past in the league. But obviously he's played in a system where there's been what we would call base personnel, maybe not a fullback, but two tight ends. You know, and Juszczyk is essentially kind of a combo platter. He's not a pure fullback in the sense that he's just going to line up in the backfield. You know, he essentially moves all around the formation. So he's played in that style of offense. But, you know, he's a sustaining type back. I wouldn't compare him traits-wise exactly to a Jordan Mason, but in some ways he'd probably be viewed as similar in what he gives you. You know, it's that sustaining element, which obviously for the first part of last season, Jordan Mason did that for the 49ers.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films. Now, B-Rob, when he arrived here, Greg, said that he now thinks that he and Christian can form the best 1-2 punch backfield in the league. And obviously that's a player just kind of showing confidence in himself. But I wonder what comes to your mind when you hear that. Who do you kind of see as maybe a few of the top 1-2 punch backfields around the league right now?
Gibbs and Montgomery would be the guys that immediately come to my mind.
Sure.
You know, again, without looking at every team in the league, I would say that comes to mind. I would say that Robinson and Algier in Atlanta would come to my mind as well. I'm sure I'm missing some because I, you know, obviously we don't prepare this, so I didn't know you were going to ask me that question. But I mean, those two would come to my mind right now. I'm sure I'm missing something, and somebody when we're done are going to say, "How could you leave out this one?" But you know, that would come to my mind right now.
Yeah, Greg, don't worry. We don't prepare either. We're just firing stuff off here to see what happens.
Hey,
you know
guys,
what I mean?
You know what? I just make this stuff up as I go. Yeah. Believe me, I get told that a lot on Twitter, that I just make stuff up anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think we know better than that. And Greg, when you look at the wide receiver room now for the 49ers with Valdez-Scantling and taking out Juwan Jennings, how much is Ricky Pearsall now maybe even more important to Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan, assuming that Juwan Jennings may not be ready for week one?
Well, Pearsall, he'd be the man now, so to speak. I mean, Pearsall and Kittle, you know, they're there. They understand the offense. I think in an ideal world, it's not an offense that's based on we need, you know, Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson in order to be a good passing game. I mean, in an ideal world. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that you don't want those guys. I mean, obviously, if they had those guys, it'd be wonderful. But I don't think that the way Kyle structures his offense, it's built on we better get the ball to this guy or we can't have a good pass game. Now, depending on how the season goes with Jennings, look, he's not going to sit out the season. So if he's a Niner, at some point he's going to show up because he's going to want to get paid. We'll see how it plays out. But Pearsall at the wide receiver position right now would be the number one guy.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films. Greg, we loved that conversation about your deep dive on all of Brock Purdy's dropbacks last week. And, you certainly – go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, guys, you know, you have to think of it this way. Pretty much every quarterback in the league has defined strengths and limitations. Like if I put on Twitter that, you know, that Patrick Mahomes is not a great progression reader, which, by the way, I've been told by defensive coaches in the league, people would probably tell me I'm an idiot, you know, but I've been told that by coaches that play against him, okay? So now you have to think of it this way. That every coach has strengths, every coach has limitations. So what is the job, every quarterback I meant, excuse me. So what is the job of a coach? You know, you have to sort of navigate and mitigate their strengths and limitations. That's what you have to do, okay? So Purdy has defined strengths, and then he has some limitations. Now, can limitations crop up in a given game? Sure. It depends on the nature of the game, the nature of the opponent. Any given day. I mean, if we went into the Super Bowl last year and said, look what would have happened, and you said that before the game, people would have said you're an absolute idiot. You know, sometimes these things happen. That's the job of the coach, is to understand strengths and weaknesses and make it work accordingly.
No doubt. What I find interesting, though, to further the conversation is, I think it was Albert Breer kind of did an interview with Purdy where Purdy, and he's never really done this before, he admitted that with all the injuries on offense last year, instead of sticking with the game plan sometimes, he felt he forced it and was trying to do too much. Did you see a lot of that when you went through all of those dropbacks?
I'll answer it this way. It's hard for me to know what's in his head, so I can't really answer that.
Right.
But the one thing he definitely did do more of last year was leave the pocket at times when it was unnecessary to leave the pocket. Because one of the things he did exceptionally well in his first 2 years was just stand and deliver. And I thought last year, even though he's not immobile and he certainly can make plays with his legs, although I don't think anybody would call him a playmaker in the way that, you know, other quarterbacks are in the league that we talk about, but I thought that he did not let the system play itself out the way that it's designed to. Because, look, we all know that Kyle is about the system. And in his mind, he's calling plays that are going to work, that are going to get the primary receiver open, which is what all coaches want, obviously. There are some coaches that do it better than others. It's never 100%, of course, because it's a defensive coach and there are defensive players. But when all said and done, that's what you're trying to do when you call a play, is to get your primary receiver open so the quarterback can hit his back foot and deliver the ball. A lot of quarterbacks, if they're uncomfortable with that for whatever reason, they'll bail. They'll bail out of the pocket when there's no need to bail out of the pocket. And I thought Purdy did that a little too often last year.
Does Kyle need to change the system this year with Deebo Samuel being gone and perhaps having, you know, wide receivers that aren't able to get separation like they weren't able to last year?
I would say maybe it's a tweak, not a system change, because I think his system does, because of the formation usage and because of the motion and the shifting, it does present a number of ways for receivers to be open. So I don't think he's going to all of a sudden have a brand new system. You know, one thing I learned from coaches who've been in the league for years and years in the league, coaches who are friends of mine, is that coaches coach what they know. They don't change dramatically from year to year. Can you tweak things? Can you add a wrinkle in? Maybe there's a different kind of player. Look, you know, you can go back years and years to when Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator for the then Redskins, and he did different things because he had RG3. But I mean, you know, so, but that's not the case this year, obviously. He's got the same quarterback. And you ultimately are designing your offense, the pass game in any way, based on what your quarterback is, and the quarterback's the same, and he has a certain set of positive traits and a certain set of, I don't want to say negative traits, but limitations. So you're working off your quarterback.
Greg, if the answer's no on this, just say it and we can go a different direction. But I'm curious about a specific wide receiver. Go back to last year's draft. Did you have an opinion on or do any study on Jordan Watkins, the wide receiver out of Ole Miss? He went in the fourth round.
You know, it's funny you say that. Ole Miss, they had the Trey Harris kid. Watkins, I didn't study in detail. You know, when I saw the Niners drafted him, I was like, oh, you know. But I didn't do him in detail. I remember he had that huge, huge game. Didn't he have like 4 or 5 touchdowns in one game? I saw all this because, of course, of the quarterback as well, because I did Jackson Dart in detail. But Watkins, I did not do in detail. But, you know, again, what have you heard about his training camp? I mean, is he going to get an opportunity? Because he's been there.
Yeah, no, they really liked him. And then he got a high ankle sprain. They were definitely planning on rostering him, and he did make the team. But he's you know, expected to miss at least the first week of the season. And so, yeah, I wanted to know just kind of what your thought was on him, because I do think that at some point this year they're planning a role for him.
Yeah, I mean, look – barring anything crazy, I'm sure what they thought was going to be the case was that it would be Jennings and Pearsall as the two main guys, and that when Ayuk would come back, what, week 6 or 7? Is that sort of the plan right now?
Right.
Yeah.
And, that right. And DeMarcus Robinson, obviously, week 4.
Yeah. You know, the guy who fascinated me, who I did do coming out, and I actually did him for a number of years, and I guess he's hurt as well, is Jacob Cowing. Yep. Because he was a fascinating guy, because in his early incarnation in college at UTEP, he was a big-time vertical dimension. And then when he transferred, and I forget where he was, at Arizona or Arizona State? It was one of those,
Arizona.
Right?
Arizona, yes, Arizona.
You know, he was used differently in the context of their offense, so he was not used as a vertical dimension as much as he was at UTEP, where he, you know, because I watched him at UTEP, and he would run by people.
When you look at this year's rookie class, Greg, and having looked at all the tape of these kids in college, who are you most excited to see in week 1 in the NFL?
Oh, boy. I'm trying to think. You know, it's funny. I've been back into NFL mode, of course, you know, for the last 3-4 weeks.
Oh, of course,
so I'm
yeah.
trying to think of and now I'm trying to remember who got drafted.
You know, Cam Ward, number 1 overall, and looks like he's going to get the start in Tennessee. And
oh, he's certainly going to get the start.
And,
Yeah, I'm very anxious to see him, obviously. I've met him. I've been around him because I was down in Tennessee. He's a very impressive guy. I'm really curious. See, they'll be a better team. You know, again, I'm trying to think of guys who've been drafted.
Travis Hunter playing both ways. I don't know what you think about
That to me is going to be really interesting to see how that ultimately plays out. I mean, you know, pretty much everybody you talk to say that he can't play 140 snaps a game. So I'm curious to see how they ultimately divvy that up. You know, we'll find that out. You know, I'm trying to think. The Niners open with Seattle, right? And then who do they have week 2?
New Orleans.
And they just named Rattler as their starting quarterback.
Yep. Yep.
So that'll be interesting. And then how about as they go forward? Who's week 3? Do you know?
Is it Arizona? I'm trying to remember here off the top of my head who they have week 3. It is. Yeah, their home opener is week 3 against Arizona.
Oh, then so they're on the road the first 2 weeks, huh?
Road first 2 weeks. Then they'll go home Arizona, home Jacksonville, and then Thursday night in L.A. at SoFi against the Rams.
You know, it's an interesting, I mean, a lot of people are probably thinking a good 49ers team should get off to a good start. you know, with the schedule. But, you know, Seattle's actually a very interesting team. We'll talk about them a lot more next week, I'm sure, because next week will sort of be a preview of the Seattle game. But they're a team that a lot of people are talking about now, particularly with the defense and the way that Mike McDonald, who's obviously a defensive guy, has built that defense. They have a lot of really good parts.
Hey, Greg, before we do start thinking about next week, do you play fantasy football at all?
No.
Because it would be, like, unfair, right?
No, you know what? I'm not a good prognosticator, I've never bet on a sport in my life, by the way. I've never played fantasy football. That stuff doesn't interest me. But, you know, the thing, as you guys, I'm sure, know and appreciate, is I love the whole process of it. I'm not really interested in the other stuff, you know. I love the process of evaluating, studying. You know, that's what I love to do.
No, I wondered if you had some buddies who were like, what, like, how do we beat you? Because these rookie players, you know so much about them before they even get in the league.
Well, it's funny. I think I did about 225 guys from this rookie class, and I've already, this summer, I looked at probably 80 to 100 guys who are likely to be. Some guys will drop off, of course, but I did 80 to 100 guys will be in the 2026 draft before I switch back to the NFL. So, you know, it's just, I really enjoy doing that. I mean, it gives me a head start on a lot of guys. And most guys don't dramatically change in terms of their traits.
By the way, Greg, pretty good running back combo week one facing the Niners, right? Kenneth Walker, Zach Charbonnet.
You know, it's funny you say that. I guess from what I've read, they love Charbonnet. I was not a big fan of his coming out of UCLA. And I know they drafted and cut Damian Martinez, who was at Oregon State and then ended at the University of Miami. And just based on tape study, I thought Martinez was a better runner than Charbonnet, but I know that Seattle really likes Charbonnet. I'm sure he brings other things to the table. My guess is he's probably very good in pass pro. He is a pretty solid receiver. That's a pretty good combo because Walker's been hurt quite a bit and Charbonnet's had to play.
Well, we'll dive into them a lot, as you said, next week. Greg, you're the best. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.